starting at verse 4. Now, to put everything kind of in a little bit of context here, Jesus and his disciples have been on the far side of the Jordan River. They had left the Judean area, went to another area, because the last time they were at Jerusalem, the Jews had tried to kill Jesus. The Jews had tried to stone Jesus. And that didn't happen. It didn't happen because it was not Jesus's time. Remember, Jesus had to fulfill all the law and all the prophecies. So it was not God's will for him to be stoned by the Jews. He had to fulfill all the prophecy. Everything had to happen at the perfect time. So Jesus got out of there, and he went to minister and teach across the Jordan. And as he's over there, he gets this crazy news that his good buddy, and I mean that good buddy, dear precious friend of his, Lazarus, is deathly ill. Okay, now what we got to understand is Jesus had his disciples, he had the 70, he had the 12, and then he had the inner circle of like the three, Peter, James, and John. But outside of that, he had a special group of friends. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, his family, siblings. This is the place where Jesus would go for a little R&R, a place where he could let his hair down, a place where he could kind of get away and recharge. He loved these people immensely, okay? They weren't necessarily part of the ministry, but they were very important to his ministry. Can I get a witness? So Jesus gets this news. Hey, Lazarus is very, very sick. That's where we're going to start right here. John 11, verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your anointing in this house. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Thank you, Father God, that I will be obedient to you. I will say what needs to be said. And Father God, that our hearts and our ears will be receptive to the word. We will receive it joyfully, and we will walk in it, and we will be changed, and your name will be glorified. We love you and praise you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody in church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. So I want to just encourage everybody here for the next however long, I don't know, 30 minutes, maybe a little more, I don't know. But I just want to encourage you to the best of your ability, to the absolute best of your ability, listen to this message. I know that there's always distractions and all that. And listen, I was out there for the last 3 weeks. I know what it's like for your mind to wander under good teaching. Yeah, I sat and listened to the word of God, but when I'm out there, all these little fiery darts come flying my way. Hey, what about this? Hey, what about that? Can I get a witness? This is not to discourage or talk down to anybody. I live this. But I'm saying, and please, this is coming from a place of humility. I promise you, this is not about me, but this message is for us, and I want you guys to receive it. So look past the messenger and try and focus on what God is trying to tell us, and I pray that I will do it justice. So pray for me. Thank you, Jesus. John 11 and verse 4. But when Jesus had heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, if you spent any time in Sunday school whatsoever, you'll understand that this Lazarus story, that Lazarus is going to die. So it's interesting, to say the least, what we read right here. Jesus said, "This illness, this sickness does not lead to death." When we know Lazarus is going to die and will be dead by the time that Jesus gets back to Bethany. When he gets to the hometown of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, Lazarus will already be dead. So what's he talking about? He's talking about death is not the end, of this situation. That's not the end of the situation. It might seem very final. The situation you're in right now might seem very final. Might seem like there's no way out. And there might be a part of you that's saying, well, just dig in. This is how it's going to be from here on out. That's not necessarily true. Don't forget who you serve. Amen. This does not have to end in death. It will not end in death. Yes, that will be part of it. But Jesus is talking about there's something beautiful and amazing and great on the other side. So he says, don't be discouraged, church people. You watch the news, my goodness gracious, the world situation, crazier by the day, right? Absolutely crazier by the day. All this stuff is being brought to the light, stuff that we already knew about, right? No, not really. All this craziness is being brought to the light. God is exposing stuff. God is exposing stuff. You know what I mean? And we could get mad, and I've been frustrated. We can get mad at people in power, because I would think, well, if I'm in power, these dudes, they would have their little trial and that, blah, 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 you know, and it, well, no one's getting arrested. What's going on? God is in control, okay? God is in control. And you know what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And let that just teach us, let that teach Paul, that it's not about putting your faith and your trust in a man or a party, but putting your trust in God. Now, God uses these men, but they're not perfect. Moving forward, sorry about that. But this situation that Lazarus is in, he said, this don't lead to death. That's part of it. But we're talking about going through it. So your situation might look pretty bad. But God says, oh, that's not the end. That's not the end. Where Satan says, that's the end. God says, no, shut up, Satan, you're an idiot. I'm going to use that for something amazing. Give the Lord some praise. It's for the glory of God. This is what he says. It's not going to end in death. It is for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. God says this storm, this tragic, brutal, unfair situation that Lazarus and Mary and Martha are in, it's not going to end in death, and it is ultimately for God's glory. That's how it works, church people. We can be in some tough places. And you might say, well, you know, everything's kind of going smooth right now. Okay, well, then this message will be for you next week. And to each little life, a little rain must fall, right? Or as scripture says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Bad things happen to good folks all the time. Good things happen to bad folks all the time. But God will make a way where there is no way. Can I get a witness? But he says, this is for his glory. This is so because tons of people, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they seem to be well known. They seem to maybe even be people of means, because when Lazarus passed away, all these people come to this mourning process. There's tons of people there to see this. So they were somewhat well, obviously well known, and they were very close to Jerusalem. So there's all these people there when Jesus is going to do this miracle. So this is another opportunity for many lives to be saved. For many people will give their trust to Jesus Christ. This is that undeniable evidence that this man from Galilee is who he says he is. You know what I'm talking about? He didn't just open the blind eyes. He didn't just heal the leper. But he made the dead rise again. Listen, only God can do that. Only Satan cannot bring life. Buddha, Islam, they cannot, they don't even claim that they can bring life. But God, our God, the one true God, the Most High God, he can take what is dead, what is D-E-A-D-I-N-G, we can take what is dead. I didn't pass spelling. I didn't do that well. He can take what is dead and he can bring it back to life. He can make it stronger than ever. Plus, there's a powerful testimony attached to it now. Can I get a witness? He said, this is for God's glory. This is so the Son of God. So people will say, I believe he is the Son of God. I believe your situation, this is for the glory of God. Think about that for a second. John 11, 5, 6, and 7. There's that 6, 7 thing going around. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I hope it ain't bad, because I find myself saying 6, 7 from time to time. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Okie dokie. Now I have to do that. John 11, 5, 6, and 7. Now Jesus loved Martha. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Let that sink in for a second. Now Jesus loved these people that are going through the hardest time in their life. One of them is about to pass away. But Jesus loved them. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard, this is crazy, Don Knuckles, this is crazy. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Well, that seems kind of crazy, don't it? There's a point being made right here that Jesus loves these people. And these were his bros. These were his friends, man. This was a tight group. Says he loves them. When he got the news, he stayed 2 days later. Very interesting. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Well, you know what? Miss Babs, God didn't just want to bless Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. He didn't want to just bless them. He wanted to really, 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 really bless them. Remember, only God can bring forth what is dead, bring it back to life. Only he can do that. So, I mean, think about this for a second. There is a chance, and I'm sure, well, there was this chance that if he just would have got the news, put on his running shoes and say, fellas, Lazarus is sick. We're going to Bethany. We're going to the outskirts of Jerusalem. There is a chance that if he just would have healed him, meaning he wasn't dead by the time he got there, but he got there and he grabs him and lifts him up out of the bed, and now Lazarus is healed. You know, there's some people that would have said, you know what, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking now is pretty coincidental. I know Jesus does the miracle thing and all that, and I've heard stories about all that. But Lazarus, he's as strong as any man I've ever known. And Lazarus, remember last winter he had the COVID, he had the flu so bad, and it didn't look like he was going to make it. It didn't look, but you know what? He got better. So maybe just Lazarus. You know, people get sick and they get really, really sick all the time and it looks like they might die. But they get better. I think maybe that's what happened. You see, Jesus is like, no, man, God's going to get 100% of this glory. God's going to get 100% of this glory. No man will be able to say that this was just some weird situation where Lazarus looked like he was dead, but he wasn't dead. I mean, well, he could have been like in some weird coma state, when they rolled the tomb away. He was like, man, thank goodness you moved that rock because I'm feeling much better now. Nope. Because you know what? Scripture says he's going to stink, man. Jesus, if you do this, he's been dead 4 days. It's going to stink. There was no denying that this guy was dead, right? God says, I'm going to get the glory out of this. So what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? What's that got to do with me, man? That's great. That's encouraging. looky here, man, your situation, today or tomorrow, or you're right in the middle of it. Look at the world stage, whatever, man, whatever it is, your finances, your health. It look impossible. And it might seem like there's no way out of it. But sometimes God will put you right in the middle. God will put you right in the middle of a situation where no man can get you out of it, where he is going to get all the glory because he will make a way where there is no way, where you will have no choice but to say, that was God. That was God. That wasn't grandma's pocketbook this time. That wasn't me eating my Wheaties. That was God. You know what I mean? And he says, you know what? I am the way maker. I'll make a way in the wilderness. I can do all things. So it's time for us to, you know, get excited. You know what I mean? There's so much that can discourage us, but we should not be discouraged. Hey, ma'am, that's easy for you to say. It's actually really not easy for me to say that. By default, my default nature is to be kind of a discouraging type of dude. You know, I am, without Jesus, I'm a glass half empty cat. That is what it is, man. But I'm not that person anymore. And I've got to remind my flesh. I got to remind myself. I'm not that person. I'm royalty. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My God is the creator of heaven and earth. And if he created heaven and earth, then he can hold my little life together. He can restore what Satan has stolen out of my life. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Tell the truth, shame the devil. See this? Now you can get this on the church website for a mere 30. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. That's a special gift right there. But anywho, so when he heard this, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Let's look at Proverbs 3:5. Got it? Proverbs 3:5. Yeah, look at that. Proverbs 3:5. Not Proverbs 3:5 and 6, not yet, but Proverbs 3:5. Because this is the invitation to me and you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Because the trust is ours. We can lean on our own understanding. And that can be awful discouraging and that can be awful detrimental. God says, looky here. Sometimes you better just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Matter of fact, scratch that. All the time, you better trust in the Lord 100%. Amen. Don't let Satan steal your blessing. Don't let him allow you to be miserable right here as you're going through the trial. But let him give you joy. Let the Most High God give you joy. You know what I'm saying? So trust in the Lord. Listen to me. Trust it when you're going through it. And some of you guys are really, really going through it, man. Okay, so you have the opportunity to be discouraged. You have that's the taking. And that's the natural way a lot of us want to lean. This does not look good. My body hurts constantly, whatever it might be. He says, don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. That leaves no wiggle room whatsoever. Trust in the Lord, not what the doctor says sometimes. Hey, look, man, I'm just being honest, right? He is the great physician. I'm not saying don't do what your doctor says. I'm just saying there's one that outranks him, okay? So looky here. Let God be true and everybody else can be a liar. If God says something over here and somebody else says something over here, you better go with what God says. Give the Lord some praise. So he said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but he stayed 2 days longer. Listen to me, when life is just so baffling and so painful and it doesn't make any sense, you got to go to what you know to be true. Don't leave. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your heart's very deceptive, very deceitful sometimes. Can I get a witness? Don't lean on your own understanding, but go to what you know to be true and then camp right there. So what do I know to be true right here? This is what I know about this situation where this dude is dead or he's about to be dead, and Mary and Martha are going to be heartbroken. But this is what I know about this situation. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now look at your situation, whatever it is. And you can look at it like this. I am loved by God. I know that. I know that I am loved by God. And like any good parent, which our God is the perfect parent. All right? Paul said, your dad, the old man, he did the best he could, but he wasn't perfect. Can I get a witness? Yeah, you know what I mean? But our Heavenly Father doesn't always jump through your hoops, doesn't always do what you think is best, but he does absolutely always do what's best, even if we don't understand it at the time. Amen? Now give the Lord some praise. Let's go to slide 3. John 11, 8 through 10. Is everybody all right? The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus waits a while. He's like, all right, fellas, we're breaking camp. We're going towards Jerusalem. We're going to Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem, 2 miles away from all the people that want to see me dead is where we're going. What is he doing? See, calm down. Just relax. Everybody loves you. The Bethany thing or the Lazarus thing is necessary for the ministry to fulfill the prophecy, right? But it's just a pit stop to Jerusalem. What Jesus is doing, he's dusting himself off and he's saying, now is the right time. Now is the time for me to go and fulfill my destiny, to set the captives free. There's a cross waiting for me, and I'm going to do what my Father has asked me to do. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loved us. You know what I mean? So he says, we're going to see Lazarus. We got something to do. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Now listen to this. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now the disciples, the disciples did not want to go back there. That was scary. That was super. And to them, they're like, we just got out of there by the skin of our teeth. And now Jesus is saying, we're going right back into the lion's den. But Jesus says this interesting thing about daytime and nighttime. What? I think we should not go, Jesus. Isn't that what? What he's saying is, I still got work to do. I got work to do. So, you know what? It might look a little scary to you guys, okay? But I got work to do, and I'm going to be obedient to the Father. And the good Lord is always also saying to me and you that if we're walking in the light, if we belong to him, if you belong to him, and you are trying to serve him, if you belong to him and you're trying to serve him, and you're following that light, all right, you are indestructible. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus didn't get killed by the stones when the Jews tried to stone him recently because it wasn't his time. He said, it's not my time. You can't touch me. You can only do what the Father allows. Now, it is about to be his time. But see, and me and you, we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when the good Lord's going to call us home. But he says, while you're here, you need to walk in that light. You need to follow me. Don't try and hunker down. Don't try and hide out. But know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I'm not saying your life's going to be pain-free. I'm not going to say there ain't going to be some pain in the offering. I'm not saying there won't be some suffering. I'm just saying that even in that suffering, God says, we're going to use that for my glory. We're going to use that for your growth and for my glory. And you just walk in that light. Because it's still daytime. You still got work to do. You know what I mean? And as long as you're following me, it doesn't matter what Satan tries to do. I'm going to use what old knucklehead tries to do to you. I'm going to bring my glory out of that. Amen? He will get his praise. Can I get a witness? So give the Lord some praise. Verse 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I say this verse all the time. It's one of the handful of, I probably got like 10 of them I just use every time. Why do I do that? Because I'm lazy when I'm studying. Yeah, well, that's part of it. It's a little tiny part of it. But I really want you guys to get the stuff I'm talking about. So I don't want to spend my time explaining every little tiny detail. I want you to grab the truth out of it. You know what I mean? And so when we repeat something over and over again, hey, man, that's getting in my heart. You know what I mean? So, you know, when my world's falling apart, I need to think about what God says. I need to stand on what God says. And he just said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The disciples are like, I don't know, Jesus, you're the boss, but I don't know. I don't know. That was pretty crazy last time. In all your ways, acknowledge him, or in all your ways, submit to him. You're not the boss. All right? Listen, you're going to serve somebody. And if you're a Christian, okay, God is our boss. He is our Heavenly Father. All right? He is worthy of my praise, and he expects and wants and desires my obedience. Amen? How are we doing with that, by the way? You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? We're all works in progress, but you know what? Check this out. He says, in all your ways, submit to me. Trust in me 100%. Don't be distracted or deceived by the wind and the waves. Trust in me 100%. And then don't just trust in me, but apply it to your life. Submit to me. Do what I tell you to do. When I say do it, do it. When I say don't do it, don't do it. When I say believe it, believe it. Amen. Can I get a witness? He says, do this, and I'll make your path straight. You know, as opposed to you trying to help God out, which can turn into a big mess, be obedient to him. Do what he says. Can I get a witness? Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil. Let's go to the next slide. This situation looks crazy. He waits 2 days. Now they're all of a sudden going. And, you know, the disciples probably for a couple of days probably, you know, had a little sigh of relief there. Like, I guess Jesus finally figured out, man, that ain't the right part of town for us. No, he's just waiting for that perfect time. So now they're heading that way. He tells the disciples, it's like, Lazarus is asleep. The disciples are like, huh? He's asleep. Like, if he's asleep, then he'll wake up. Like, we don't really, really don't want to go back there, Jesus. If he's asleep, let's not bother him. Jesus is just saying, in a very poetic, beautiful way, Lazarus is dead. And it was interesting and very encouraging for me and you, I hope, that when it talks about a believer dying, when Scripture talks about a believer passing away, it says they have fallen asleep. He has fallen asleep. What's God trying to tell me and you? It's like, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to be anxious about that last moment. You don't have to worry about that one bit. Raise your hand if you are terrified of naps. Early 50s Paul Rott ain't nothing better than a nap. You know what I mean? I love naps. I love sleeping. That's my thing, man. You want to know what I'm good at? I'm really good at sleeping. I dig it. Actually, I'm not good at it, but I'm working on it. But okay, so Jesus, God is saying, look, man, don't be afraid. It's just like taking a nap, man. It's just like going to sleep. Matter of fact, the older you get, that sounds kind of good. Can I get a witness? Take a little nappy. Yeah. I'll get with you later. Right now, I got to take a nap. Little shut eye, little beauty sleep. John 11:14. Then Jesus told them plainly, the disciples, they really didn't get it. Like, he's asleep, then leave him alone, man. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. How many times have God had to do the same thing to you and me? You're not getting it, you're not getting it, you're not getting it, you're not getting it. Hey, McFly, wake up, dude. What it says in the scripture is what I mean. No, well, I think I can get away with this. I think God will give me a path. No, I won't. I'm being patient because I love you. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus had died. And for your, this is so interesting, man. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. For your sake? Who's he talking to? He's not talking to Mary. He's not talking to Martha. He ain't talking to Lazarus. He's talking to his disciples. He said, for your sake, I'm glad that this went down this way. So look, you know, check this out, man. Because when you're going through that storm, when you're going through that difficult season, that crazy time in your life, God doesn't just want to bless you, and he certainly wants to get his glory out of it. Can I get a witness? But it's not only you being blessed, but he wants to use the pain and the torment and the tragedies of your life to be a blessing to other people. He wants to use that to be a blessing to other people. He's not into wasting your tears, okay? But he wants to bring something beautiful. How can you say that? How inconsiderate. This is what God says. He wants to bring something beautiful. He wants to take the ashes and make something beautiful out of it. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Allah says, go lie. Go lie. Go lie. Lie all you want. Kill people. Kill them. Our God, the one true God, he can take what looks so, so dark, so devastating, and he can, only he can, but he can bring something beautiful out of it. And he says, not just for you. Oh, I love you so much, but not just for you, but I want to use this pain so you can reach others and encourage others. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus says to the disciples, for you guys, man, I'm glad it worked out this way. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us, not question mark, who comforts us, but Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Could you read that 14 more times? Yeah. Number one. Now I'm playing. Look, God says, I comfort you through the storm. What you're going through right now, the agony, the pain, the torment, whatever it is. He said, there's comfort for you. I'm close to the brokenhearted. I save those that are crushed in spirit. I'm here to get you through this. I'm giving you the comfort. We will get through each day. We will get through each day together. Amen. But he says, there will be a time and a place where we will take what you went through and you will be able to sow the lessons that you learned through that trial, that storm, that suffering. You'll be able to sow that into other people's lives You'll be able to encourage other people that are not where you're at in the journey, but they're way back here. And they're just feeling the pain and the hopelessness. And you're like, no, it doesn't have to be that way because you're not alone. I'm with you. And the Most High God is with you. And you know what? I walked a mile in those shoes. You know what I mean? Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Yep. So check this out. I had cancer. Still weird to say that, you know. And that's not a newsflash for probably everybody in here. But I had this cancer thing. Took a big chunk of last year to deal with it and all that. It was like a couple years, which is really bizarre, man. But there was like a couple years where I was just having so much trouble talking, man, before the diagnosis. And I was so hoarse all the time. Sometimes it would be really, really bad. Sometimes it would be a little better. But it was getting so difficult to talk. And, you know, my neighbor, great dude, man, awesome guy, Robert. You guys know Robert? He's a pretty good dude. I'm borrowing his trailer right now. I just loaded it up yesterday. Anyway, that's a different sermon. But check this out. Robert had almost the same identical cancer that I had a few years before me. So as I'm walking around and, you know, how neighbors are, he's doing something in his front yard and he wants to talk to me for a second. He was like, your voice don't sound so good. I was like, yeah, I know. It's cool, man. I talk a lot, whatever. It's cool. It's like, yeah, your voice don't sound so good. He was like, you need to get that checked, man. And he had went through that a few years before me, almost the same identical cancer. And I go, okay, whatever. In my pea brain mind, I shouldn't speak that. I don't have a pea brain mind. I have a huge mind. I have a huge brain. I'm like one of them people on the spaceship show. My brain is like immense. It's brilliantly immense. You see like pulsating veins and stuff because my brain's working. Now, are you okay? I'm getting a little tired. Now, okay, so check this out. What are we talking about? Robert, my neighbor. He's like, you need to get that checked out, man. And it was kind of that whole ignorance is bliss thing, you know? I was like, man, I ain't worried about it, dude. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. People around here started saying, dude, you need to get that checked out. And it didn't feel good. And there was a lot of pain to it. It was really, really hard to talk. We set up an appointment. It takes forever for me to get in there. Finally, I get in there. First appointment with the ear, nose, and throat dude. First appointment. He shows a little thing down my nose. And that was part of the appointment. He didn't just do it, but he's like, this is on the house. No. He shoved this thing down there. So first time I saw a doctor before, he's like, you got cancer, man. Was not expecting that. I mean, I was like, yeah, it's a possibility, man, but other people get that. Other people get cancer, not me. You know what I mean? Like, you got cancer. Then it starts all the tests and all that junk. Okay, fast forward. Well, before all this, when I'd see Robert, I was like, man, you know, and he's a good guy and I love talking to him and all that. I really didn't have time to hear him, you know, kind of say, hey, you need to get that checked out and all that. I wasn't interested. But then when the doctor said, dude, you got cancer, and I'm driving home and I'm like, that's the same cancer Robert had, dude. What are our wives doing to us, man? What's going on? I think we got a Judge Judy in the makings over here. Something's happening. Get it. Anyways, all of a sudden, I want Robert's advice. All of a sudden, I want to talk to the cat. Speaking of cats, I got a PET scan coming up. Has nothing to do with animals. Learned that the hard way the first time. But I do have a PET scan coming up. I've been cancer-free for almost a year now. Things are going great. God's in control. God is good. But give the Lord some praise. Paul will have a voice as long as God wants me to have a voice. And I will use it as long as I have it. And if he decides to take it away, I'm going to start writing in the dirt. So, anyways. once I got this diagnosis, Sandy, all of a sudden I was like knocking on Robert's door, you know, calling him up, texting him, looking in his window. I wasn't doing that. I was like, because why? Because why? Because he already went down that road, man. He already went down that road. And he gave me he told me a lot of things I didn't really like, but it was the truth. But he was there to help me because he done went down that road. So here you are going through whatever you're going through. And he says, just hang on, because we're going to use this for something really, really good. We're going to use this to encourage other people. You're going to get your breakthrough. You're going to get your blessing. And you're going to be able to scream from the mountaintop, God was faithful to me, and he's going to be faithful to you. Give the Lord some praise. And Martha heard John 11:20. We got that. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. We got two heartbroken women. We got Mary and Martha. Both of them are heartbroken. Both of them are frustrated. Both of them are confused. Why would Jesus do this? Why did Jesus not do this? I'm not like that guy or that guy that he cleansed from leprosy, or this guy whose eyes he opened. Those weren't even believers, man. We're basically family. And when I needed you the most, as a matter of fact, the first time really said, I need you. You don't show up. Two women, confused, frustrated, heartbroken, but they approach this thing from two completely different angles, man. Mary stays at the house, just as heartbroken as Martha. Martha, just as heartbroken as Mary, she hears that Jesus is on the outskirts of town. She doesn't wait for him to come on the property. She's not saying, well, he can come to me now. Really? I'm sitting here. No, she knew, man, even though she didn't know everything and nothing was really making sense, she grabbed a hold of what she knew was true. Like, if I'm going to get any peace in this situation, if I'm going to get peace, if I'm going to get through this to the next day, then my only hope is the man from Galilee. He's the way maker. And she runs to him, man. Dude doesn't even get into the village. Not that he didn't get into her front yard or in the house. He didn't even get to the village by the time she runs out to meet him. And what does she say? She's like, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Well, true, but I don't just want to bless you. I want to really, 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 really bless you. I want to really bless you. So if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. True enough, but God's looking at the bigger picture than our immediate need that we think if it doesn't happen, it's destroyed. God says, no, not necessarily. I can bring life in ways you cannot imagine. So just keep trusting in me. And so she's, man, someone should put her in her place for talking to Jesus like that. We should always talk to the Lord with respect and reverence, right? But you know what she's doing? She's laying her burdens down there. She doesn't get it. She doesn't understand it. Jeremiah, Job, David, to name a few, those dudes were pretty good sometimes about complaining to God. But what are they doing? God, I don't understand this. I don't understand it. But I know you do. I know you do. And I know you love me. If you look at David in the Psalms, when he's really just saying, you know, why do the wicked prosper? What's up with this? Why is life so hard for us? And the wicked prosper. During the course of those Psalms, the situation physically does not change. The wicked do not cease to, they're not stopping to prosper. But because he's bringing his burden to God and laying it at his feet, he begins to have peace. He begins to have joy, even though physically it ain't fixed yet. It's like, God, you're in control and you love me. Amen? Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You know what's cool about strong towers? They're strong and they're towers. That's right, folks. You're not going to get that type of teaching down at First Methodist. Nothing. Lord, forgive me. Oh, my gosh. Place of safety. He says, God, you are my place of safety. When everything's falling apart, I run to you. How do I run to God? Man, I grab a hold of this book, and I start reading it, and I start applying it to my life. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal my joy. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to rebuke those fiery darts. I'm not going to let it take root. My life seems so hopeless right now. I've got all this responsibility, and my body is killing me, and whatever it might be. Don't lean on your own understanding. Run to the strong tower. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7. This is what she's doing. Matter of fact, she's like making a way to Jesus. You know, Jesus is like, oh boy, here we go. Here we go, but it's going to be worth it. She doesn't understand it now, but oh, it's going to be worth it. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Think about that one. Casting, like throwing them. I don't need this. I can't live with this. I can't live with what I did in the past. I'm not going to let that destroy me anymore. The Apostle Paul said, you leave that junk behind, dude. You move forward. I can't deal with what was done to me in the past. Give it to God, man. What a heartless, stupid thing to say, Paul. I'm saying what God says, man. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. And when Satan says, man, I bet you feel stupid acting like that in church, waving your hands and kicking the people in front of you, getting all out of control. I'm giving my burdens to God and I'm leaving them there. Let's go to the next and last slide. John 11:23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha's like, if you would have been here, man, this would not have happened. You ever felt like that? God, why'd you let this happen? If you're like me, God, why didn't you stop me? Why didn't you stop me? But if you're like me, you got to come to the truth of the matter that he kept saying, don't, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Can I get a witness? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I know that one day down the road, God, you got something really awesome planned, but I'm hurting right now. My life is crushed, man. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But my pain is right here and right now, man. Jesus said to her, listen, this is the meat and the potatoes. We're almost done. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Talking about eternal life, talking about salvation, but also I want to put this in here, talking about your situation. Right here, right now. I'm saying, God says, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way that you're going to get through this, and you will get through this. Do you believe this? When there's the pain and the agony and the unrelenting attacks on your mind, God says, push that junk away and believe in my words. Believe what I said to be true. Walk in peace in the middle of this trial. Do you believe what I say to be true is true? That's what he's saying, man. We got to receive it. We got to walk in it. Whether we see the manifestation of it right here, right now or not, does not matter. Talking about salvation to your kids, talking about whatever you might be going through, you know what I mean? We lay it at the feet of the Lord. We believe his promises. We don't let Satan steal our joy. When he tries to steal your joy, look at the victories. Look at all the things he's led you through in the past. Look about that. Think about that. Grab a hold of that and know that this is nothing different other than the fact that you ain't never been down this road before. And even though you ain't never been down this road before, your shepherd goes before you and he makes a way where there is no way. Look at Acts 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else. Let's just settle that right now. And there's salvation in no one else. There's no other way to heaven or eternal life or forgiveness of sins unless you go through Jesus Christ. All right? You may have had some whatever experiences sitting at the feet of some nutty guru dude, whatever. Dismiss it. Pray over yourself. Rebuke all that nonsense. Whatever you might have put yourself through, that leads to death. Don't mess with that junk. Okay? But check this out, man. Talking about salvation, eternal life, only through Jesus Christ. Okay? Talking about your situation. Only God can make what looks to be so dead back to life. My marriage is destroyed. Not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus says, do you, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe? Because so much hinges on that. You know, 2 + 2 is always going to be 4, whether you believe it or not. You know, the truth is the truth, whether you've tricked yourself in the mind or you heard some fancy boy on MTV saying, this is the truth if you want it to be the... No, dude, the truth is the truth. The truth's always going to be the truth. Now, if you want the benefit out of the truth, you need to believe the truth. If you don't believe 2 + 2 = 4, you ain't going to pass the math test. If you don't believe that Denny's has 2 entrees for 1 low price, you don't believe it, you ain't getting 2 entrees for 1 low price. You know what I'm saying? If the truth is you go dance out on that road, you're going to get hit by a car. That's the truth. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but if you want the blessing or the benefit, don't go dancing that road. The truth is, old man Ferguson will still give you a shiny half dollar if you and the neighborhood boys go there and pluck the weeds and sweep his front porch. If you want the benefit of it, you're going to have to believe old man Ferguson and go do it. I don't know any old man Ferguson. But what I am saying, we got to walk in the truth. Can I get a witness? Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's read this last verse. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She just said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. When you believe that, when you believe that truth, that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, then all things are possible in your life. Amen. Amen. You know, the truth is the truth. But if you want the blessings, the benefits from the truth, you got to walk it. I'm not saying you have to understand it. You believe it. You believe what God says. Just like when your mom and daddy said something and you just took them at their word because they're your mom and your daddy and they love you and they want what's best for you. Yeah. I was warned not to touch cigarette lighter. I knew not to touch that cigarette lighter, but I had to learn the truth about it. Father God, thank you so much for your saving power. Thank you, Father God, that if there's anybody in here that has not had a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, thank you, Father God, that before this day is over, they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father God, for your healing power and your encouragement. Thank you, Father God, that you are strengthening us. And Father God, you are doing amazing and impossible things in our life. Thank you for the amazing, impossible things you're doing in our life. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.